And we can even do ministry. We can even try to do our best to serve as your hands and feet in the world around us. And as we do that, God, we will see your kingdom at work around us. We will be catching a glimpse of all that you have prepared for us. That place that you have been preparing since the beginning of time for each one of us. And God, we are just mindful of that today. So God, as we close our time of worship today, we want to remember the prayer that you taught to your disciples, a prayer that that begins with, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Oh, I guess we're starting with a bang. Healthy snacks. Oh, that's a culprit. Okay. That's okay. We can use that too. Yes. And sometimes we come on to people with a bang and sometimes we don't. You can take your Bibles and you can turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 7 through 16 is the focus of our lesson today, and all that we've been singing about in the prayers are leading us to be ministers of godliness. To be ministers of godliness. Now, I know the scripture does focus here on ministers, preachers, pastors ministering the word, but you know, when you were baptized, you were also baptized, and you're also a minister of godliness. Are you? Am I a minister of godliness? But what would you say godliness means? It means more than morality, more than religious profession, or the power of reality, really the power of reality of a vital union with God, a vital relationship with God, a vital lifestyle with God, are really implied. Devout, pious, conforming to God. Now, how many, if any of you, have used the word godliness this week? Have you heard the word used? Well, probably not. The word had its peak because of a computer, technology. You use a tool, you use a computer as a tool to get information. So I looked and I found that the peak of the word godliness was used from about 1820 to 1840. And from that point on, the word started coming downhill to 212 or something like that. It was on a graph. So we don't use the word godliness very much. We don't say that. Barry, are you living, is your life a godly, yeah, I can't even say it right. Okay, I can't even use it right. So, I won't even say it that way. Okay, so we're going to focus on the important issue of godliness this morning. And we're going to learn a little bit more about that word this morning. Because godliness is a lifestyle. Godliness is a lifestyle. And it's consistent with who? With the character of God. With the character of God. That's what it's related to. And you know, in the day and age in which we live also, there's a lot of emphasis put on fleshly desires or looking good or being the part. Fleshly desires that godliness may seem to be an outdated idea. It may be an outdated idea, but as we use our Bibles to look at the ingredients that are on those potato chips. Oh, by the way, she was eating potato chips this morning. Well, I had some of that snack out there, that apple cake or whatever it is. Well, that got my hands a little smutsy too. That was delicious. Okay. That was delicious, but I'm not sure how good it was for me. Okay. however, we see the Bible still places great emphasis on godliness for a believer. For a believer. For you and I as a believer in Jesus Christ, we need to be very observant of the teachings. How much time have we taken this past week in looking at the ingredients list for us to be living a life of godliness? Well, let me focus on key areas here that I think we want to look at, is to show the importance and relevance of godliness in a Christian in a Christian's life. If we want to be a good servant of Jesus Christ, we must invest. We must invest our lives in the pursuit of godliness. Well, we know what it means to invest. Some, it's taking money to the bank, and you don't get very much interest for it. Some of you may go in the stock market to try and get more interest for it. Some of you may say, well, that's too risky, so I'm not putting my money there. I could lose it. Or now we have the words of an inverted interest curve, so you don't even get any interest for your money. So what I'm saying is, how much time are we spent in pursuing godliness in our lives? That question comes to the guy here preaching it this morning, speaking to you this morning, speaking with you. My hope is we will be encouraged to evaluate. Here we're coming to school time again. We're going to get into tests, quizzes, and those kinds of things. So there's going to be an evaluation. My hope is we will be encouraged to evaluate our Christian walk in light of God's holy standard. This is His standard book. Probably most of us in this room this morning may have at least 5 in their home, or maybe some have 10, or maybe 1. You really only need 1 if you use it. But sometimes we want to have another one to get another perspective. Barry would have his message available for him to look at. Evaluate our Christian walk by the holy standard. There's a great emphasis for good physical body condition these days. Our culture dictates to us what is acceptable, what we must look like. We must look a certain way. You drive down the road and count how many billboards are advertising something about body. You need this, you need that. Or you're watching TV and all these ads come up about this kind of thing for your hair, for your face, and those kinds of things. You listen to it on the radio. There's pop-ups that come up on your computer when you're watching something, and all of a sudden, doop, 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 they want to get your attention. They want to get it in front of you, and then you say, oh, yeah, you know what? If that does that for that person, I'm going to try that too and see if it'll help me. And we go after it. We go after it. However, we know that the Bible spends less emphasis on physical body, but, you know, encourages to develop our lives unto godliness. 1 Timothy 6, 6-8 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. How are you doing at living that out? How content are we? How content are we? And I'm going to... I'm sorry. We see, too, that there are those steps in developing a life of godliness as we listen to Paul's advice to young Timothy. If I were to talk to each one of you this morning, you could give me much advice of things that happened in your life, how you came through those situations, and how they were stepping stones. And when you look back, you say, oh, that's how God orchestrated that situation in my life that brought me to this point. What has taken place in your life? What do you see? And the advice would be in the form of opinion, in the form of one living it out and knowing what happened. Advice can change on certain things after we went through them. And I'll talk a little bit about that later. Now, if you have your Bibles, we'll turn to our scripture lesson here from 1 Timothy 4. I'm going to be starting at verse 7. But refuse, why don't I go to 6. If thou put brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith, of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane, old wise fables, exercise thyself unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, what we're living through now, and which is going to come. Verse 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the presbytery, by prophecy, with the laying on hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly unto them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. Godliness, as I said, is more important than physical exercise, so we need to pursue after it. Living a holy life. Paul had just finished here encouraging Timothy to pass along sound doctrine to the people of Ephesus. Good teaching leads to growth in godliness, where false teaching has no constructive value. You and I have been living life and we know the teachings, the false teachings, and where that leads to. And here we see they were false teachings that were tempting the church at Ephesus. And it also says, turn away from profane, having no source in any holy God, but are cheap and common, made up stories, fables, embellishments. Here, referring to that of the Old Testament that would cause endless, unprofitable discussion and arguments. Are there things that lead to unprofitable discussions? Sometimes we tend to talk about things and we're not building up the kingdom. It's following that which Satan would have us to follow. So we need see here, as Paul begins the letter, we see the importance that he places on this source of mischief. And in the verses here I read, Paul was saying here to Timothy, be like the athlete that is in training. and any of you have been athletes, you know the training that takes place. You spend a lot of time focusing on that. You spend time preparing, because Mike wouldn't have went and rode his bicycle for that distance if he wouldn't have been prepared for it. He probably was aching maybe some, so as it was, but a lot more if I would have been doing that kind of thing. We need to build ourselves up also in holiness. And how do we do that? We do that by attending to the great truths of the faith. We need to look at that and the truths that he gives us in his word. Here Paul is exhorting Timothy to pursue the spiritual training, in which is how much more important it is than that of physical. Paul was comparing the physical exercise has little profit compared to the combination of the temporal and, more important, eternal profit, the internal profit that godly striving provides. You see here it says about, for bodily exercise, but godliness is profit for unto all things, having promise of the life that which is now, the life we're living right now, as well as that which is to come. When Jesus returns to take us home to be with him, or if we're 6 foot underneath the ground, the bodies will be popping out when the eastern sky opens up and the Lord appears. We are to be a good example. Here in verse 11, it says, be a good example. In order for people to follow Jesus, they need to look up to him. Sometimes some of us might say that Timothy wasn't dry behind the ears yet. Were you ever told that in your life? What you're saying, you know, you haven't been around the block yet. So there's another phrase. And when I say dry behind the ears and going around the, you haven't been around the block, reminds me when Anna, our exchange student, came to us. And she tried to understand. It's only when you run up with people that aren't from our culture, they don't understand those little idioms that we use along the way. So not dry behind the ears. Even despite his young age, Timothy was to live a life of faith and Christian purity. He called upon his people to live out the doctrines of the faith. And as a leader, as a minister, a leader does more than teach. They do it. We do it by our living. We need to do it by our living, by example. And that includes all of us. Not just ministers. It includes everybody, because we are all ministers. Timothy was here in his 30s. He was quite young for the responsibility that he was given. Sometimes there are people who are older will say, well, I'm not sure about listening to him. He's such a young person, I'm not sure about what they're saying. And point out shortcomings in their lives. Or somebody, and maybe you've had this said to you, when you give some advice in children, just wait till you have children. Wait till you have children, then you tell me about this. You ever hear that? Yeah. And there's many other areas that you can detour with that. But wait till you have children, or wait till you're married, or wait till you get this job. Well, Timothy needed to pay special attention to, I think, three specific areas here. Number one, the courage and joy in Timothy's life would testify to his faith. We see Timothy's faith standing out here. Secondly, his concern and labor for others would be demonstrated by his love. By his love. And you can read about Timothy's life and see how that he went through that. Thirdly, finally, his single-minded obedience to God's will would give a clear evidence of his purity. Clear evidence of his purity. So it's faith, love, and purity, which he was going to need to do till I come, till I come. We need to immerse, in verses 13 here, immerse yourself in godliness. Immerse. What does it mean to be immersed? Any of us who are brethren have any understanding of that? Yes, we're immersed into the water and we come up in newness of life. Immersed, involved, deeply. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Reading, public readings. There weren't a lot of copies at that point in time. They didn't have 5 or 10 Bibles in their house, or whatever number you have. There were few copies. Also, exhortation talks about preaching, application, and the practical, therefore. Doctrine, careful attention to the doctoral content. His position was granted to him by the presbytery, by the elders of the church, by the laying on of hands. How many of us had it laying on of hands more than one time? Those are the ones, people that have been set apart. But when we're baptized, we have the laying on of hands also at the time of baptism. We're to develop our gifts. Develop our gifts. What is your spiritual gift? Do you know about that? Do you know about your spiritual gift? Laying on of hands here. And the gifts we see in 1 Corinthians 12, 1, and then verses 8 and 11 through 11. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, increased faith, gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and then interpretation of tongues from 1 Corinthians 12. What is your spiritual gift? The Christian life demands perseverance and commitment as we walk along the narrow path that leads to life. Because we know the broad road that leads to destruction. But we need to be walking a narrow road. And there are times when we were in Guatemala with Deanna years ago, we were on some narrow roads, very, very narrow roads. And we would blow the horn as we got to the turn. Or in the nighttime, they would flick their lights. Blow the horn or flick their lights. We're coming around the turn, so hopefully you'll stay over so that we don't go down, whatever that might be. So we need to beware of that and stay on the narrow road. We need perseverance in verses 15 and 16. We need to persevere in service. How does that look for you, to persevere in your service? Paul told Timothy how to avoid being careless and to remain steadfast, to meditate, to ponder and reflect upon. To be diligent is another word for meditate. Also paying attention to some things that to people outside the Christian walk of life don't understand what you do, why you do what you do. Well, the Bible tells us that we're a peculiar person. We're peculiar. Because we don't fit in. But we want to let our light shine in a way that would attract. So it says here, take heed unto yourself, keep a careful watch on himself to not go astray. You know, we need to keep a watch on our lives that we don't go astray. Because there's so much bombarding us these days that we must be very alert and astute to that. Paul says, and this is probably a word you haven't used this week either. Paul says to walk circumspectly. To walk circumspect is prudent, watchful, discreet. In the face of danger, choose the right. Steadfast teaching of the truth, and that will save himself and others, which God calls us, you and I, to be a witness to that. God has ordained our salvation, not just rejuvenation, but also sanctification. That's a big word too, isn't it? Sanctification, set apart for the work of grace. At salvation, a believer is part and separate unto God to make productive and conducive, to be made conductive and conducive to the spiritual blessings. Sanctification, our deliverance from sin, to consecrate yourself to answer God's call, to spiritual consecration, willing decision, dedicated the soul, the mind, and the heart to God. How have we done in that? As we come into the presence of a risen Christ, Romans 8, 23. Romans chapter 8, verse 23. I'm going to turn to that one. Romans 8, verse 23 through 25. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is not seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then we with patience wait for it. Hope, certainly one of those things in the world in which we live today that is important for us to latch on to. The truly regenerated person will live a godly life and heed the truths of God's word. In doing so, the person gives evidence of the Spirit's working in their heart and making his calling and election sure. For Timothy to be a minister of godliness, he needed to faithfully live out God's standard and effectively communicate them to the church in a way that he would. We see that Timothy, there were three specific areas that he paid special attention to. The courage and joy of Timothy's life would be testified to by his faith. His concern and his labor for others would demonstrate his love. Finally, his single-minded obedience to God's will would give clear evidence of his purity. How are we doing at living for God, for living a life of godliness? Or are we like, a little bit like the illustration that talks about the donut shop? Lots of people like to go to the donut shop because there everything is sweet. Everything tastes so good. But no matter how often you go to the donut shop, you're probably no better off health-wise for being there. In fact, the more often you go, the worse off you will be, because there is no nutritional value in donuts. For many people, church is God's donut shop. They want to hear a sweet song, a sweet word, everything sprinkled with sugar, but no real spiritual substance. That's having a form of godliness while denying its power. Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the worship time, for all the songs that have helped guide us to where we were going this morning. Thank you for your Holy Spirit's attendance. I also thank you, Father, for each person here this morning. Pray your blessing and your guidance upon us as we go from here. Help us to let our light shine in a way that would glorify you and point others to your kingdom. that we might be about your kingdom's work, that we might shine for you. Help us, Lord, in honoring that which you have called us to. In the name of Jesus, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen.